Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vlad Harris here on our Panther Rants podcast. Happy Monday to you. As you all know, we're back. I'm sure the kids are back in school. I know mine got a rude awakening this morning, but you know what? They really weren't that bad this morning. They didn't have a meltdown. They didn't cry or flip out and say, "I want to get up." They got their asses up and they got to school. As for me, I took the day off because I really didn't take any time off during the holiday because I was on call. I mean, I was home, but when you're home, you're still working. So, I wouldn't say it was a mental day, but just a day to kick back and relax for a day and then go back to work. But anyways, a lot to talk about and lots happened since the last podcast. For one thing, right after, you know, I talked about Sean Watson a good bit, and I have been up until this bowl game. I really didn't think that they would fire Sean Watson, but they did. They pulled the trigger, and it's something that needed to happen. Regardless, I just didn't think it was going to happen. But as some person pointed out to me, the Watson hiring was made before Heather Lyk even was on campus. So he was here before she was there. So to me, I thought he would stay because he's Narduzzi's guy, and he's gonna live or die with him. And I, you know, if you watch the press conference after the bowl game, they asked about what Pat thought of Sean Watson's, you know, his confidence in him, and he just responded with "hi." And I, you know, Heather Lyk was there, and I think Pat really didn't want to get too much into the in depth of his feelings for Watson, because, you know, he was supposedly a mentor to Pat. They're buddies. And so I'm sure this probably wasn't easy for him to do. But I don't think it was his call to make. Cause, you know, the AD, she wants to win games, she wants to win titles. And I think for her, from her standpoint, probably this team is a lot more capable of winning just 7 games this year. But the staff failed the players. And also, Pitt got rid of another player, not another player, but our coach, Kevin Sherman, the wide receivers coach, left too, which I felt kind of shocked. Felt kind of odd about, but this past year, the receivers were underwhelming. I mean, there was a few guys that, you know, that developed, but they brought some good receivers in recruiting wise, and some of them left, and they're just some that haven't developed the way you want them to. So obviously, they had to go. And I don't know what it is, because they had a lot of talent this year at receiver. I mean, they had Taysier Mack. I wish they could have got him the ball more, but the offense sucked. Arugio Lopes is a hell of a player. And that's the same thing as well. We didn't give him the ball enough. And then there's Matthews, the kid from Clareton. I thought he was talented as well. I mean, there's talent there. Just, what the hell is it, guys? And on top of that, the tight end position became extinct. So there was just too much piling up in a case against Sean Watson. There was just too many red flags, and it just had to happen. I mean, there was a lot of games where they put up points, but there were some games where they didn't do squat. And we saw that. But if we look, we'll look over the season today. It's just, they were, one point they were 7-4, and then they lost. They were on a high after winning that, winning the division, and then they lost their next three. The title game, I can understand. It's Clemson. No one's beating Clemson. They're just a badass team. Miami and Stanford. I can understand Miami. Miami was supposed to win our division this year. This was supposed to be their time, and of course, that became a dumpster fire. As Manny Diaz took the Temple job, and then Mark Richt decided to retire, and Richt obviously is probably burned out. But all Richt really needed to do was get himself a quarterback, and they would have been fine. I mean, their team was only going to be as good as their quarterback takes them, and it was horrible. It was disastrous for them. They had a really, really good defense, though, but they just, didn't have much of anything else. So anyways, guys, obviously the coaching search is going to begin. But if we look at the season itself, we start off with that awesome win against Albany. But then Penn State came the next week, and it was raining. It was, nasty. Still, though, given Pitt's, running game, you thought things favored him a little bit. But then second half, they just, for one thing, they gave up points before the first half was over, and they just melted down in the second half really bad, and that was it. I mean, they just gave up. They quit. But as for the rest of that, the rest of the season began, they would go Georgia Tech the next week and win that one, which was a big game. I mean, Paul Johnson, helped our season. He's always good for that. And as we thought things were going to start flowing. Then we play North Carolina, and our defense can't get a stop. They don't show up. We score 35 points and still lose the game. Then the next week, we travel to UCF. And Pitt just gave up on that game. They wanted no part of it. And that was that. I mean, already, it just wasn't looking good for Pitt. I mean, they were 2-3 at that time. They already dug themselves in the hole already. Then, they needed overtime to beat Syracuse, and Syracuse won 10 games this year and they're ranked. And I know people are going to complain about that because, according to a lot of people, Syracuse, they got a way of playing cupcakes, and they padded their one loss, thing. I mean, if padding your one loss is going to get you recruits or get you some sort of ranking and recognition, that's just what's going to happen now. I mean, the way the BCS is set up, was set up. The strength of schedule was a big deal. It was who you scheduled and who you played. With this college football playoff, sure, some of that comes into play, but they're not using computers anymore. It's a panel of quote unquote experts that discuss this stuff. So there's no computers there to factor in all the statistics, how good an actual opponent is. It's just these guys talking to the top of their mouths. So you can say, well, you know, they play these ranked teams. But of course, ranked teams didn't really play anybody. It doesn't matter. They played ranked teams. Like, I know people say that Pitt got hammered by South Florida. I mean, not South Florida, Central Florida. And, of course, we can argue and say, well, Central Florida was in the top 10. But the thing is a lot of these people don't care that Central Florida was in the top 10. All they know is that Central Florida was a non-P5 opponent. And then we got our asses beat by them by 31 points. That's all they care about. They don't care about how good Central Florida is. It's the fact that they're a non-P5 team and they whooped us. So Pitt, obviously, after that game, well, let's see. They beat Syracuse. They go to Notre Dame, and, of course, the defense played their ass off. And, of course, our offense couldn't do jack squat. And for some reason, our field goal kicker just had a game where he just was shanking them. And, of course, and eventually, you know, we had some bad calls. And, of course, you just can't do that against Notre Dame. You can't put the game in the ref's hands. And that's what happened. We lost that game 19-14. It was a disappointing ending to that game. But then the team regrouped after that and won their next four games. They knocked off Duke with a last-second touchdown. They beat Virginia at Virginia. And, you know, at the time, Virginia was getting a lot of hype. And Pitt's defense did a hell of a job shutting down the quarterback. You know, that's when the defense, you know, started to really play a lot better. Virginia Tech at home, the next week after that, Pitt ran right through them, took them out. I mean, Pitt dropped 52 on them. I mean, that's the thing about a lot of these games is if you look at some of the scores, midway through, you had 35 against North Carolina. You had 44 against Syracuse, 54 against Duke. Actually, 52 because the 54 was a two of them points was a safety. And then you have Virginia Tech where they scored 52 points and then they dropped 34 on Wake. And Wake wasn't that good of a team. Virginia Tech wasn't good either. I mean, I thought it'd be them and Miami taking the Coastal this year or fighting for the Coastal. Both those teams really flamed out. And that was that. So Pitt was 7-4. They won the Coastal, but then they played a really good. They played some really good defenses. The Stanford game, I don't care. I mean, Pitt should have scored more than 13 points against them. That was ridiculous. Part of that game was on Watson, but part of that game was on Pickett as well. Pickett missed some really bad. There were some throws that Pickett made that were really bad. That, you know. Where it's like, I get that, you know, Watson's horrible, but there's stuff that, you know, Pickett's at a time now where he's had enough games in the system where he's got to make plays. You know, he's got to grab the bull by the horns and improvise. And a lot of times he just didn't do it. You know, there's throws that he had to make that he just didn't do. And, you know, and the thing is Watson can't make those throws for him. He's got to do that. But we'll see what happens there. As the season goes, it just is what it is. And I know the people. I mean, was it a successful season? It depends on what your expectations were. You know, they won the Coastal, but you feel like they should win more games, and they should have. They were capable of winning more than seven games this year. It just, you know, I really didn't care if they won the bowl game or not, because 8-6 or 7-7 makes no difference. It's not gonna help them recruiting. It's just a bunch of hogwash. But anyways, guys, that's just that. All right, so what else happened over the weekend? We had Saturday. Pitt played North Carolina and of course got the crap kicked out of them. But the big story from this is that Cam Johnson made his return to Pitt. And the big story, obviously, was that, you know, Cam Johnson was returning to Pitt. And obviously the media was all, the local media pretty much was worried about how Pitt was going to, how the fans and the students were going to treat Cam Johnson and his return to Pitt. And the thing about this was, I didn't realize this was much of a story or an issue until media people brought it up. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, who cares? But there, obviously, some people in media care because they, well, I'm sure they searched through Twitter and were looking at Cam Johnson's, you know, mentions probably, and I guess a handful of Twitter users, you know, painted the whole brush of our feelings towards Cam. But the thing is this, it's a non-story, because Cam obviously moved on. He's been at North Carolina now in his second year. He's been gone for Pitt for 2 years. And the coach that he had issues with his transfer is gone. Kevin Stallings is gone, so there's no, it's a dead issue at this point. And if you look at it now, Cam Johnson's on the other team now. So I don't think Pitt fans are really booing him because the kid decided to better himself. And I don't think, and who knows, I don't think half of the students realize who the guy is or why he left. They don't know the whole story. If anything, they know he left and he's on the other team now. So I don't know why the media people were so condescending about if Pitt fans boo him or not. It's not like Cam brought a bunch of championships and Final Fours home to Pitt. And he left, and now he's coming back. He's come back home. We have to welcome him with open arms and have a little video tribute to him. And of course, you know, with that whole inspiring music in the background. That's what this was. Okay. So I don't get why people are so judgy about whether or not he's booed or not. And from a lot of people said in that game, it was pretty minor. I mean, look what happened to Cody Parker. Or whatever his name is. Or Cody Park E, I'm sorry. He missed a field goal, and of course, fans booed the hell out of him, and they were really mad. And of course, if now I'm sure if they look at the replay now, the ball was tipped. So you know he made a really flawless field goal right before the the timeout was called, but then when it came down to it the second time, an Eagles player got his hand on it, and that was that. So, Cam obviously didn't care, and you know what? He got the win. I guess they beat us by Lord knows how many points, and they beat the crap out of us. He gets to go back to Chapel Hill, and I'm sure he'll be back in the tournament. I'm sure it'll be vying for a Final Four, so I don't really think that Cam is all that too worried about a bunch of fans booing him. So, whatever. Tonight we got the national championship game, Clemson and Bama. And I'm not really going to analyze this game for you guys because we've seen these teams play so many freaking times. And, basically, I like Bama. I think of, Clemson obviously has a really good defense, but they're going to have to beat Bama by running the ball because I'm not, when we played Clemson in the title game, I wasn't all that impressed with their, passing game. They have a really good defense, but the passing game is something I'm, you know, concerned about. I just don't think it's that good. And if it gets to that type of a shootout, I think Bama's going to pull away pretty easily. So Clemson's going to play them really tough. But I like Bama overall. I think they're the better overall team. But I'm not giving you guys gambling advice. I'm not an expert in any of this crap, so I could be wrong pretty easily. So that's that. Dana, I guess, got introduced to Houston. And I guess he made some cryptic words about being, I guess, feeling wanted. I don't know. I guess he really didn't feel that way at West Virginia. And, you know, I understand. The guy's legacy there is a little... It's hard to say. I mean, they won games. But I guess they were... I guess the West Virginia was expecting, you know, Big 12 titles, and it's just not going to happen. I mean, as long as you got the Texas teams and Oklahoma teams there, it's going to be impossible for them to win a championship there. The clouds are going to have to align a certain way for them to win a title there. And the clouds did align this past year. The conference was there for the taking for them because it was down and they couldn't do it. They choked. They fell short against Oklahoma, and you know, they lost that. They dropped that Iowa State game, and you know, you just can't afford to do stuff like that. And they did it. So, I mean, that's on them. And he had a Heisman candidate quarterback. I mean, he had a really good team, and that conference was there for taking. It just fell short. So they replaced with Neil Brown, and I guess I looked over his thing. He did some really good things at Troy. He did 2 to 3 years at Texas Tech in the Big 12, and he ran a really good offense. And I do remember this offense because I used a good bit of his players in college fantasy. But I also forget that he had Tupperville. He coached under Tupperville, which is pretty bad. You know, Texas Tech was pretty mediocre with when they were under Tupperville. So, but they like this hire. I mean, I guess it looks good on paper. I mean, I'm just not sure how it's going to pan out for them. By all means, that, you know, hey, hope it works out for them, because they're going to get all the help they can get, because Texas is coming up. Oklahoma's still always going to be up, and if Baylor can hold on to Matt Rule, it's going to be tough. I mean, the conference is going to get a lot tougher for them. But, oh well. Anyways, guys, I'm keeping this short because I have really not much else to talk about. I could dive into the Steelers stuff, but I think I muted pretty much Steelers off my Twitter because I just don't feel like hearing about the soap opera anymore, because that's all it is. And as far as the playoffs go, I mean, it was a disastrous weekend of playoffs. Yesterday's games were brutal, and Saturday's games were just as bad as well. But hopefully we get some good stuff this week. Oh well, guys, hell to pit. Bye.